Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts, members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op, and your host, Danny Milliken.
The nice man is correct. All of that is true. I am the host, but the knowledge expert here today is Diane Bolanowski from Warren Southern Gardens. Hello again, Diane. Hour number two begins now.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you as well. Doing a great job so far. I love what you've been putting out there. Great info. We have a special request to actually talk about the tomato varieties we were sort of teasing before. So two of my faves are Juliet and Black Crim. And they're both a little bit smaller. Black Crim, K-R-I-M. And so I haven't had, like, I've had success, sometimes great success, sometimes years, sometimes not so much, with just bigger tomatoes. What are some bigger tomatoes that you really want people to be aware of?
Okay, I've got a good answer for this.
My favorite large
slicer tomato is Champion.
Okay.
Champion is a fantastic tomato. A lot of times the big tomatoes, like the beefsteak and the trying to think of, you know,
Big Boy, Better Boy.
Yeah, they've got really thick skin. They crack really easily, and they're not always the most productive. And I've had the best luck over the years. It's always one of my first tomatoes that I plant, and it's almost always the first tomato I have that produces.
Oh, wow.
It's a very large tomato, very tasty. Sometimes the large tomatoes aren't delicious. So we're growing tomatoes because we want them to taste good. So, but Champion, if you've never planted it, I highly recommend it. It is an indeterminate tomato. So, you know, it does need some space. It does definitely need, you know, a trellis or a tomato cage. But that's a great, great tomato.
So, I mean, there's a lot of heirloom tomatoes and hybrid tomatoes. And, you know, I mean, how long does a hybrid have to be on the market before it becomes an heirloom is always one of my questions. I love Cherokee Purple. I love the way they taste. But it's like if the weather's off a little bit or rains too much, I generally get a lot less production. So I'm going to try Champion for sure. Juliet I love because you get so many tomatoes. I had to get 300 last year and, you know, the same amount the year before. They're big enough to slice, but they're also big enough to eat by themselves, and they taste really good.
You're right. I get more customers and people telling me that they have incredible success with Juliet. Sun Gold is another one that
Sun
people
Gold.
Just love.
And that's such a bright flavor, too. It's just like kind of really pretty explosive flavor on that. So awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my favorites there is Black Crim. I love growing that, and I usually start that one by seed. But my all-time favorite tomato to grow is San Marzano. And San Marzano, if you like to cook, is, to me, one of the best-tasting, you know, cooking tomatoes. If you like to make marinara or, you know, Italian dishes, that's the tomato that you find, you know, from Italy canned. And that's what a lot of chefs prefer to use. So, you know, you think, well, it's such an incredible tomato. It must be hard to grow here. But actually, it does really well here. And it's a really nice, blocky plant. And the fruit is, it's a heavy fruit. So it's very dense. So it's great for cooking,
right?
And just a delicious tomato. It's a lot of people grow Roma for that purpose, for cooking and canning. But Roma is very susceptible to blossom end rot.
Oh,
and I don't think it's a delicious tomato.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't have as much flavor. So if you're looking for a cooking tomato, San Marzano.
Yeah, when you're growing tomatoes, keep in mind that you can have it all. You know what I mean, Diane? Like, people can have the flavor, they can have the disease resistance, they can have the size, they can have big and little. You know, like, you really don't have to be like, well, you know, I kind of like this, you know, I just want something red. You know, you don't have to do that. You can be like, I want it to produce a lot and be delicious. You can actually get both when you grow your own. So
Yeah, and for, if you're a beginner or if you haven't had luck in the past, do cherry tomatoes. They're really easy and really rewarding. You know, things like sugary is one of my favorite. Mm. Just kind of if you have kids, it's just a pop-in-your-mouth tomato.
Right.
And it's so productive. Sugary, sweet million, those are all great. Smaller tomatoes. Also, sweet Chelsea, Bella Rosa.
Yeah, sweet Chelsea.
Those are delicious, fantastic tomatoes that people have, you know, really good luck with in this area.
Yeah, and those aren't – I mean, if you're a beginner, I'm going to say Juliet – do Juliet, like you'll get as many as you would get in cherry tomatoes, but they're bigger, a little bit bigger. So
yeah, they're and so also good. Matt's wild cherry.
Yeah.
Almost too many tomatoes.
Yeah,
on
if
that
you
want
to spend all your time picking tomatoes, so that's your thing. Matt's wild is a great way to go.
Yeah, well, you know the birds like them too.
That you know that is interesting because it's a good like distractor plant. You know, if you want to keep the birds away from your tomatoes. Put in a bird bath, but also Matt's Wild will do a great job of kind of keeping them focused on those, and you don't have to worry about them eating your tomatoes. So,
yeah, exactly.
Nice. Well, that was our tomato talk, so good job. You can obviously throw any tomato talk that you want to talk about as the show goes on. We're up against a break, so 713-572-4610. Lastly, get those tomatoes in the ground. That's what you – now's the time. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
You can be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros can help with advice you can trust and the tools our co-op members recommend.
Southwest Fertilizer, quality lawn and garden supplies since 1955.
Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting, putting the wow back in your yard.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 713-572-4610.
Welcome back to Home Show Garden Pros. This is Joey from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes. Today, both at Enchanted Gardens and Enchanted Forest, take care of your Valentine's Day gift search at today's fun and easy make and take. Create a personalized gift by choosing your favorite succulents from our great selection and then planting them up in one of our heart-shaped planters. We have one of the best selections of succulents in town. You will love all the unique varieties. All of our roses are out and ready to be shopped. We have a great selection of roses this year. Surely there's one that's going to fit just right in your yard. Vegetables are making their way on the tables. We have lots of great varieties of tomatoes and peppers out. Come on out and get an early start on planting.
We have an outstanding selection of fruit and citrus trees. Our knowledgeable staff will be happy to answer any questions to get you growing your own fruit. Now is the best time to get your fruit trees in the ground so they get established before the heat of summer comes along. Be sure to check out myenchanted.com for our upcoming seminar schedule or sign up for our weekly email so you'll know what's happening at Enchanted Nurseries. Enchanted Forest is located on FM 2759, convenient to Greatwood, Sugar Land, and First Colony. Enchanted Gardens is located on FM 359, convenient to Fulcher, Cinco Ranch, and Richmond. Visit us on our website at myenchanted.com for more info and our future events. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Enchanted Gardens Richmond and Enchanted Forest Richmond. And now back to Diane and Danny.
All right. There we go. We're back. 713-572-4610. Diane, Diane's from Warren Southern Gardens, a beautiful place up in Kingwood. What do you guys got going on today? What's happening?
Well, really, it's all about citrus and fruit trees today. Mm-hmm. We've got we got a really incredible shipment in. There's some really hard to find varieties, and we have Australian finger limes.
Ooh.
And we have Buddha's hand, and those are two. If you're a citrus fan and like to grow citrus. They're really hard to get. And every year, you know, with citrus, it's limited, the amount of growers that we have, you know, available to us. And every year, you know, they promise we'll have, you know, Australian finger limes and Buddha's hand, but we almost never get them. So we're super excited about that. We have some really cool Other varieties, lime quats, orange quats. So we're really excited about that. And, of course, fruit trees. And, you know, I love daylilies. So this is the time of year that I get in my bare root daylilies. Mm. And we also do bare root hostas. So nice. And I just got in summer bulbs. So those are the things that I really get excited about. Because a lot of people don't realize and they're a little bit intimidated by growing things from bare root. But this time of year is the perfect time to put in, you know, bare root hostas and daylilies. One, there's a better selection. And two, you're not digging enormous holes. You know, you can amend the soil and really just pop them in. And so it's a lot of fun for me to get, you know, the summer bulbs and the bare root material in.
No doubt. Yeah, those are some interesting citrus that you mentioned. I'm excited thinking about summer bulbs because bulbs are so easy to plant. So that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you guys, sounds like you guys are loading up with a bunch of, as usual, amazing and high quality and unique plants. So cool. 713-572-4610. Terry, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thought you'd like a little of the citrus tree talk that Diane was doing there.
Well, I hate to do that, but last weekend, or I believe the weekend before last, I was listening, like always. But one of your colleagues there had mentioned that she used MicroLife to start some plants or seeds, and the taste ended up being real tasty. My Ace Hardware carries the MicroLife, but I did not remember which one of the MicroLifes that she used. Do you recall that at all, or which one should I use?
If you're growing vegetables, I would lean towards either the green bag, the 624, the pink bag, the acidifier, if you're dealing with basic soils, or the ultimate, which is the 846. Then the 846 is the one I use in my veggie bed. It's kind of got a lot of stuff all together, which is kind of nice.
The 846 does?
Yeah, it's like I got a lot extra humates in there, a little bit of neutraline for extra nitrogen boost, and then it's got the kind of classic, all the other good stuff that's in MicroLife.
Okay, excellent. And then one last thing also, I've been taking some seeds that I've been attaining and stuff, and I've tried it, but if I take the seeds that I buy at the store, per se, I can grow the avocado tree, they just will not fruit, it takes a long time for them to fruit.
It takes a really long time, Terry. You know, it's kind of a neat experiment and a neat thing to do, but I usually lose patience by that time. And avocados are a little bit finicky. They will do well in this area, but I really do recommend, you know, starting from an established plant.
There are also there's some variety questions as well. I mean, starting with an established plant, you know that you're getting a grafted tree that's a clone of a variety that makes fruit. And you don't really know that with a store-bought seed because the genetic combo's off. And those are generally tropical. And as close as we are to tropical, we're not quite there.
Right. And you have avocados at your store? Because I'll be over in Kingwood later on this coming week.
Oh, yes, sir. We just got some avocados in. They're really nice. And I think that they're in 3-gallon. But, you know, and we get the ones that are appropriate for our area that we've had, you know, good luck with. So, yes, we do. Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. All right, well, I'll come over to see you this week then. Thanks, guys. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you, Terry.
Have a good weekend.
One bit of advice, unsolicited advice on planting avocados is with Edible Earth Resources, my landscape company, we used to lose about 30% of avocados, 40% of avocados we planted because we would do the classic dig a hole, put it in there. Over time, we kept lifting it up, and it turned out in the end we would just kind of scrape off the top of the soil and then make a big mound for the avocados. And that's how we had most of them survive. We just make a big mound with compost and not plant them in a hole at all. So just keep that in mind, Terry, as you plant the avocados, is they really don't want their feet to be wet. They really want well-drained space. So maybe even don't even put them in a hole.
That's great advice. What about containers? Do you find you've had better luck?
Yeah, because you can really select your soil so well and raise better a container. And so you can make sure that drains really well while holding a little bit of moisture.
Yes,
so,
good.
It's good stuff. 713-572-4610. Home Show Garden Pros here with Diane Bolanowski for more in Southern Gardens.
Get your green on at Plants for All Seasons. From perennials and annuals to ground cover and grasses, their hand-chosen plants are second only to their support. Get even greener. Plants for All Seasons gardening classes are a fun way to learn something new for everyone, from beginning or master gardeners. Plants for All Seasons, 21328 Highway 249, just north of Louetta, and online at plantsforallseasons.com.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. Talking gardening. It's a new year. We've got John Ferguson here with Nature's Ray Resources. Hey, John.
Good morning, Danny. How you doing?
I am good. Would you like to answer a question for us?
Shoot, yeah. Love questions.
You know, it's wintertime. I got leaves everywhere. Should I rake up the leaves and pine needles or work them into my soil?
Well, depends on your situation. If you think about nature, you go out into a forest, there's no disease problems, no pest problems. And how is it fertilized? Mm. It's with using leaves as a mulch. Now, the issue becomes if you're on turf grass, St. Augustine, Bermuda, Zoysia, whatever, they can be so thick they can smother or, you know, shade out the grass.
Right.
So in that case, you might want to rake it up and put them into your flower bed or your compost pile. What I personally like to do, I use my mulching blade on my lawnmower, and I just mow slow, and I just chop them up so fine they just fall in and add organic matter to the grass.
Yeah, there you go.
And that way you don't have trouble bagging them. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to bag them. I'd strongly encourage people to do exactly what you're talking about, or maybe compost them in a compost pile.
Exactly. They should never go to the landfill either. You know, when you chop up a lawnmower, you're essentially mulching or composting in place. If you put them in a flower bag, you're going to use them as mulch. And that makes all the earthworms happy. They love decomposing leaves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's a great info and a really good, valuable information for folks. And John Ferguson has company Nature's Way Resources. They have an awesome website, naturewayresources.com, for their products and their location. See, I knew you were going to give us something good.
All right, Danny. Man, you have a good one.
Oh, yeah. Will do. Thanks, John. 713-572-4610. Diane Bolanowski here with me now, talking gardening.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you mentioned some of the citrus that you got in, and I'm familiar with Buddha's hand. It's a really cool one. People use kind of the fingers or the peel for candying. Really interesting. It's almost like a octopus or alien monster or whatever. But they're really interesting.
Yes, it's really weird looking, but
yeah.
Fun.
But you know, limequat piqued my interest. And then the Australian finger limes are renowned for their flavor. But Mexican limes, kind of Persian limes, can be pretty cold sensitive.
Yes.
But the limequat, is that less cold sensitive?
I want to say it probably isn't. It's probably about the same. Limes, they are cold sensitive. And I also find that they're a little bit slower growing. Mm. Than some of the other citrus. So I would say that the limequat is probably, you know, probably a little bit more sensitive.
Yeah, I think
go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying people can get a little confused with the quat word. And it's one of those random words that just means fruit. And so, you know, you got a kumquat, loquat, limequat. That's just a kind of, it's saying fruit, you know, so it's a weird word, but it's in there. And a lot of times it means it's a mixture, right? So it's a mixture of other fruits, in the mix.
Right. And if you know a little bit about citrus and grafting, they've grafted two different varieties together. And then the orange quat, this is the first time I've ever had experience with them. So, and that's kind of the thing, is how many citrus trees can you plant? I'm, you know, excited and I'm thinking, well, I want three or four, you know, of the new varieties. But, and I grow, you know, some of my citrus in containers. So you just kind of had to, you know, think about, do you have the space? And, but, you know, I would encourage people to try growing citrus in containers. I've been really successful. I've got a Ujikitsu, and that's another cool one. If you're not familiar, some people call it the lemonade tree. It's a cross between an orange and a lemon, and the fruit is really big and it's sweet, and that's why they call it the lemonade tree, because, right. You know, it's you can, I mean, I wouldn't say, I think it's still a little sour, so, but it is, it's a really good fruit.
No, it's a very rich taste, still has sour and tart, but has a lot more sweetness than a lemon does. It's kind of a lemon orange in a sense. So, Diane, I just checked my the resource page I've got on all citrus stuff, and limequats are cold hardy down to 22.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're for people in Kingwood that just keep losing their limes. It's a cross between a kumquat and a Persian lime. I mean, a key lime to get that lime flavor, but a lot more cold hardiness. So,
well, that's really great to know, because we have a lot of customers in Conroe, and of course Conroe gets a lot colder.
Right, for sure. For sure. And I know that Ujikitsu is a delicious one. That's one of the ones that, if I have the N33 navel orange, I thought was going to die, and I made a list of trees I wanted, and Ujikitsu was, it's my next citrus tree. So when the next one comes along, I'm going to get that for sure.
It has a really pretty form, too. Caracara orange, too, is a little bit of a weepy tree.
Yeah.
So I think that they have really pretty, you know, forms. And citrus is a pretty plant.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. So true. Well, there's so many great citrus, and it's so great for our area. So great thing to talk about. I may – we'll talk about some kind of standard, a little more. We talked about some weird ones, Buddha's palm and Ujikitsu and Caracara limequats. But we're going to get into a couple more of the standard citrus because now's a really good time to start planning for them, planting them when we get back from our commercial. We're Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Foundation problems happen in two seasons, dry season and rainy season. Hi, I'm Kenny Dutton from Due West Foundation Repair, reminding you soil expanding in rainy weather is just as bad for your foundations as dry, shrinking soil. That's why Due West developed UltraPile. It goes deeper, holds stronger, and lasts longer than other systems, no matter what the weather, and includes a lifetime transferable warranty. Three generations of my family stand behind everything we do, so we can say, when you want the best, call Due West. du-west.com.
You're listening to the Home Show Garden Pros. Gardening help you want, answers you can trust from members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Sherry Hara from Plants for All Seasons in Northwest Houston.
Zach Buchanan from Buchanan's Native Plants in the Heights.
This is Diane Bulanowski from Warren Southern Gardens, located in beautiful Kingwood, the livable forest.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now 713-572-4610.
That is right, 713-572-4610. You got a citrus question, tomato question, lawn question, any kind of question. Diana Bulanowski is here to really help you out. She's great with natives and perennials and pollinators as well, which is something that, you know, people don't really think about too much, but citrus is a great part of any pollinator bed as well.
Yes. And if I could, I have something to say about that.
Yeah.
So citrus is a host plant for the giant swallowtail butterfly. And so a lot of people, you know, we struggle sometimes with leaf miners on citrus. And leaf miners, we could go into it a little bit further, but basically we consider it more of a cosmetic issue than a real, you know, detriment to the tree. If you've got a really weak tree that's, you know, a weak young tree that you've had issues with and you've got leaf miner infestation, that's something different. But for an established tree, when you see leaf miner damage, it's really a cosmetic issue. And if you treat for leaf miners, you also could be destroying the giant swallowtail larva on the citrus. So I always urge people to, you know, think about it, you know, before you treat your citrus trees, unless you just absolutely have to, because it's a beautiful butterfly. We're seeing less and less swallowtails. And all citrus is a host plant for that particular butterfly.
Right, right. And so whatever, I mean, you don't have to pick a special citrus to be a host plant on that. But if you can surround citrus with nectar plants, you can really, really encourage a great thing to happen and kind of revitalizing it. And it's not like the swallowtails are the only insect or bird or mammal or fish that we're seeing less of. You know, it's kind of across the board. If we can make tiny decisions that help a little bit with wildlife, we can actually do something really positive. And that's anything from, you know, leaving non-annoying weeds in your lawn alone to planting more flowers that, you know, butterflies and bees like. So growing citrus is a great thing to do for the environment. It's kind of wild to think that, but all the produce you get off there didn't have to travel any miles on the road. It is a host plant for a beautiful butterfly, a couple, actually. And so what are some citrus that are your favorite, Diane? Like the classics, you know, I often think, you know, it's so easy to get in these interesting, you know, Buddha's hand, limequat, citrange quat sort of ones. It's like Ujikitsu. I mean, you name some really cool ones. What are some classics that are your favorites?
So always, you know, Meyer's lemon. Meyer's lemon is so productive, and you get, you know, the lemons are just fantastic. They're super juicy.
Right.
And if you cook like I do, it's the cooking lemon. Yeah. You know, it's just fantastic, you know, for cooking and very easy to grow. I'm a big fan of tangerines. I love tangerines. So my favorite is an old tangerine called Dancy Tangerine, and it has a fun name. They're small tangerines, but they taste like candy. And the kids, they're just so sweet and have almost no seeds. And to me, tangerines are so fragrant, and I just really like them. And tangerines and mandarins, you know, people buy those little cuties at the grocery store for the kids. Well, those are mandarins. You know, those are in that family. So I think tangerines or mandarins are great. You know, satsumas do very well.
Another mandarin, but just a Japanese mandarin, basically. And you've got like so easy to peel, delicious fruit, few seeds. It's, you know, a good looking plant. Clementines are in that same kind of group. You know, it's just saying, it's like easy to peel, delicious, low seeds, habitat plant, evergreen shrub. What else, you know, it survives almost anything you can throw at it. The mandarin, tangerine, clementine, satsuma group is like, how does everybody just not have three or four of these in their, at their home? You know, it's always
amazing
to me.
And, you know, to me, they're really cold hardy. Yes. We had that little weird, you know, cold snap. I forget. We got really cold. And I didn't protect, you know, I didn't do anything. And I left the fruit on. And it was absolutely delicious, the sweetest that it's been in years.
It's so great.
Really good.
It really is amazing. I mean, it's, you know, easy to be kind of afraid for the citrus because we think of them as sort of tropical-y plants. And, you know, they are to an extent, but it's like, man, they really do really well in our area. So, and, you know, like kumquats are such pretty little shrubs. And if you kind of keep them down and keep them sheared, man, you can't tell them apart from landscape shrubs. They're so tight and so cute. So really cool stuff.
Yeah, they are.
I'm a big fan of satsumas and clementines, but the honey atlas mandarin is a delicious one. So,
oh yeah, I love those too. Yeah. I just think citrus is great. There's one that I would like to mention as far as grapefruit goes, because I'm not a big grapefruit fan, but there's one variety called cocktail grapefruit.
Oh, gotcha.
Delicious. It's got a flavor I can't describe. It's not grapefruity, in my opinion, at all. It's almost got a little bit of a tropical taste, maybe mango-y, but I'm not sure if that's the right description. But if you don't love grapefruit, but want to do something a little bit different, cocktail grapefruit is just delicious.
That is so cool. That's awesome. Well, that's so great. Man, you're making me hungry here. Diane Bonowski here with Warren Southern Gardens. This is Home Show Garden Pros, 713-572-4610. Shannon will get you for sure right after this quick break from sponsors.
Native plants, hardy, suited to our climate. Find them in the Heights at Buchanan's Native Plants. Devoted to Texas native plants and organic gardening for over 30 years. Perennials, annuals, herbs, vegetables, trees, shrubs, and roses, they're all waiting at Buchanan's, along with house plants, succulents, and cacti. Plus, Buchanan's bungalow features one-of-a-kind gifts and home decor. Find your way to Buchanan's, 611 11th Street, online at buchanansplants.com.
Back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Yes, Home Show Garden Pros. We've been answering gardening questions and giving great gardening advice. And one of those bits of advice is if you're in that time right now that you are planning out your landscaping, thinking, man, I'd like a change, be it big, small, or huge. Maybe you want an outdoor kitchen. Maybe you want an herb garden. Mike Ball, Irrigation, Landscaping, and Lighting, does a phenomenal job of helping you dream of what you want your backyard to be. So I love this company so much because they are focused on kind of sustainability, water saving, kind of soil improving, just energy saving. Everything that you can possibly imagine can be sustainable about landscaping. Mike Ball kind of specializes in that, from water conserving irrigation systems to actually designing edible and sustainable landscapes. They do an incredible job. Beautiful natural stone patios and walkways. Get something that you really like, feel at home in outside. They do pavers. They do retaining walls. So if you need some trellising, or not trellising, tiering of a space because your drainage is off. They do living walls. This is a really cool area where you can get like a lot of greenery in a space, in a small space, by going up instead of out. Again, herb gardens, veggie beds, arbors, pergolas, and they also do the fire pits, outdoor kitchens, and fireplaces. So they can do everything in a landscape, and just do beautiful work. Just a great job, great company, great guy, Mike Ball. So call Mike with your vision. They'll custom build it for less than you expect, and you'll have your dream backyard. So check out their website, MikeBallIrrigation.com. Diane Bolanowski here with me now for more in Southern Gardens. We're answering gardening questions, getting after that, 713-572-4610. We really touched on a lot of stuff, from planting trees to tomatoes to citrus, and we're going to keep on answering your gardening questions. So whatever you got, bring it to us. Diane, you want to answer a couple questions?
Sure do.
Awesome. Well, Shannon is on the line for you. Shannon, what's your question for Diane?
Hi, good morning. I have limited yard space and want to plant citrus. How close together can I plant the trees?
If you're gonna, if you're gonna put them in the ground, I feel like 15 to 20 feet for me makes sense. You might be able to get away with a little bit closer, but I think that that's probably a good distance. Also, don't discount, growing citrus in containers. Maybe plant one variety in the ground and then, plant another in a large container.
Well, what do you think, Danny? I have a Meyer lemon. Yeah, I have a Meyer lemon and a lime in a container for 3 years, and even using compost and microlife, they're just not doing well. And I've replanted them now, twice.
Well, and if you're doing a lime, I've found just that limes tend to be smaller and are a little bit slower growing. So what do you think, Danny? I mean, I think really, 12, 15 feet.
So if you're going to grow it normally as a tree, you got to let it have the canopy space it needs. Now there is a technique called high density orcharding. And if you've got plants of the same height or size, you kind of prune them and grow them as if they're just one plant, you kind of cut off one side of one, balance it up, make sure that they're not having a bunch of crossing limbs and competition, but you need plants that are roughly the same size to do that. So that's called,
okay, and I'm sorry.
What's that?
What's it called?
High density orcharding.
High density.
Okay. Yeah. And it is a way to get up to four plants in the space of one tree. Obviously, you're reducing the amount of produce you get, but you're getting more variety. So it's a trade-off. So for me, someone who loves satsumas, I don't really want to trade off satsumas for more lemons or limes. You know what I mean? I want satsumas because I love eating them. I can juice them. There is that, and I can eat them plain just off the tree. But if you're looking for variety, that's a way to go. I would say in container growing is absolutely wonderful, with citrus especially, you can't take for granted minerals, adding minerals, making sure minerals are in there, and mm-hmm. they're going to want it to drain, you know. So planting in straight compost is going to be a tough thing to do. I know you may not be doing that, but, you know, the first mix you plant it in is important, and then making sure you're kind of adding minerals back on a regular basis. And MicroLife can do that for lawns, but I'm not sure it can handle, unless you're doing the citrus and fruit mix, can really do it for citrus trees. So I would really, I'd really kind of go after the Nature's Way remineralizer or some humic acid or something like that in your pots.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet. And Angela Chandler is an incredible teacher that teaches around town pretty often. And she is a specialist in the high I believe she invented the approach, actually. But in the high density orcharding, she's kind of the one who came up with that notion. So mm-hmm. look for her classes all around town and you'll be a pro at it. So, but yeah, if you're doing them, spacing them out. I mean, we've kind of done them. The trade-off with citrus is that you lose produce, right? That's just
right.
You lose production. And so it ends up being smaller space. You want to get more variety. You're going to lose production. But that's a strategic choice, right?
Right. And I would say one thing that we didn't mention is that, you know, if you've had the citrus in containers and you've not been successful, it doesn't seem to be thriving. You know, it could be that the plant was inferior. You might want to start fresh. You might want to, you know, put in a new plant.
Especially after 3 years. And then some may have happened with kind of root wrapping or something like that. Root girdling may have happened. And that plant maybe just isn't it. I mean, 3 years is you should see some progress in 3 years. So if it's not the soil, then I would look to the plant. So that's a really great word. Great advice given by Diane Bolanowski here on Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Has your lawnmower been sitting up for over a month and now it won't start? We can help. Hi, friends. Bob Patterson at Southwest Fertilizer. Today's gasoline contains ethanol, which in time can absorb moisture, and that moisture will gum up your fuel system, making it hard to start. Our technicians can service your mower, clean out the fuel lines, and clean or replace the carburetor, getting you back to mowing your lawn. At Southwest Fertilizer, we're devoted to providing service, quality, and selection for solving your lawn and garden challenges. You'll find seeds, plants, tools, soils, and solutions to make your lawn and garden flourish. Southwest Fertilizer, 5828 Bissonnette at Renwick, or southwestfertilizer.com.
Get more from your gardening. The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help with advice and tools they trust to keep things green.
MicroLife, all organic biological fertilizers. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people. Nature's Way resources for quality soil, mulch, and compost. The key to healthy gardens, flowers, and lawns.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 713-572-4610.
And we're back. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. This is Danny Milliken here with the wonderful Diane Bolanowski, and we are answering your gardening questions as best we can. Diane, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Danny.
And I'm trying to figure out things that you're not saying, even though you're saying just pretty much everything. So it's great. I love it. 713-572-4610. We're going to keep that question ball rolling with Jacob. Jacob, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Good morning, y'all. How you doing?
Doing good, man.
Good morning.
Good. I got a two-part question. The first one, I have a Satsuma tree that we bought 3 years ago, planted in our backyard, and for about 3 years it's just kind of sat there and done a little bit of nothing until this past spring it finally put on a little bit of flowers and then nothing. So it hasn't really set any fruit. And then your previous caller, you're saying maybe after 3 years it might look at the plant, but it's got a little bit of new growth, and it's steadily growing, but it just hasn't set any fruit yet. Any suggestions on what we could be looking at?
Well, Jacob, it could be a lot of different things. One, you want to make sure that it's getting, you know, adequate sun, so a good 6 hours. Have you fertilized? When and what do you fertilize with?
I usually just use the MicroLife 624. And I do that probably once a quarter. I go out there and fertilize it and make sure that it gets decent water. Don't overwater or don't water too frequently. But yeah, that's That's the fertilizer I've been using.
Well, Jacob, when we were talking about the 3 years thing, we were focused on like overall plant health. Says her plants were really kind of looking iffy themselves versus not producing fruit. You really actually don't want any fruit your first couple of years because you want the roots to grow, right? That's what you want to do. Okay. You want to make sure you got great roots because that means that for the next 20 years of the plant, you're going to get production. A lot of people push fruit their first couple of years and lose production. So keep doing what you're doing. A little bit of pruning, you know, making sure that the plant's not too low would be something to make sure. But I think you're doing great, man. You're going to start seeing a lot more fruit. And sometimes some rootstocks do just take longer to start fruiting than others. So don't worry about it. Just stay the course. Keep up the good work. You're doing great.
Okay. And then my second question is more concerning my yard. We purchased a new construction home, and we're the last home on the street. So we're kind of the dump yard. So I've pretty much dug up all those parting gifts that they left behind in our yard, and we bought it before Harvey, so we got the soil compaction from Harvey, and the backyard's rebounded great, but my front one, you know, just with all the extra stuff that was in it, it's been struggling a little bit more. Is there like a good program that you would recommend to kind of help turn around and chip away at it slowly but surely, but I still feel like that I've still got pretty good compaction on it.
Yeah, you're looking at lawn remediation more than just like fertilization. So, I mean, Diane and I are both going to agree that compost top dressing is going to be the one thing you can do that will actually like for sure improve it. Kind of every box gets checked on what to do with remediation with compost top dressing. So that's just getting some compost, a thin layer everywhere.
Humates also. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, humic acid, putting down Humates Plus, something like that will be something that's really beneficial. But what you want to do is you want to loosen that compaction as a first approach. You can put down all the fertilizer you could possibly want, but if it's only going a half inch down, it's not going to do anything. So compost top dress is square number one. And I'll do a Facebook post if you're on the Facebook page just about lawn remediation in neighborhoods like yours. So it'll have four or five steps on there.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jacob. 713.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, Jacob. 713-572-4610. Wes, you're on Home Show Garden Pros. So what's your question for Diane?
Well, I live in a small neighborhood and I have a small front yard and backyard. But however, I have two huge oak trees in the front and kind of let it go and it's killed all my grass, basically. And the roots are up above the ground by couple of inches, so it's just hard soil there. What is the best way to go back with replanting? I've already trimmed the trees, so I think I'm getting enough sunlight now, but I'm not sure what I should put over the top of the existing dirt to kind of soften it up where I can come replant.
Well, it's going to be limited, just in my opinion. We've been talking a lot about humates. Humates helps condition the soil. It'll help it absorb nutrients and water a little bit better, help it drain. I would apply humates in those, you know, under those trees. But as far as what you're going to be able to grow there, you want to do something if you're looking for a ground cover for under the trees because you can't get grass to grow. I'm a big fan of ajuga. Ajuga or carpet bugle. It's a very attractive ground cover. It's shallow rooted. It does great under trees. And it comes in a lot of, it's evergreen. So the foliage sometimes is variegated. Sometimes it's got silver, pink running through it. It makes small flowers and it's very cold hardy, heat tolerant. So ajuga is my go-to for under trees.
Right. Well, I know there's a lot of grass out there that claim they grow with no sunlight. Have you found it to be true?
Well, Wes, no sunlight. They're not going to be able to do that, right? You know what I mean? It's just they can say they can grow in shadier conditions. But you said something right at the beginning is that you're kind of saying the tree has caused this issue. And then you described compacted soil, right? So I would think that
Correct.
Your tree's probably under stress as well from your compacted soil situation, right? Those roots don't come
right.
upward. The soil goes down, it erodes, and it gets compacted.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. How do you loosen it up? Humic acid, humates is a way to do it, and then compost top dressing. I mean, for me, if I'm in your situation, I'm putting it down, I'm kind of mulching with compost for 1 year. So an inch and a half of compost all under the canopy of the tree, and then I'm gonna come back with some grass. So I'm gonna say some time is what you gotta do, because right now you're in the early stages of losing that tree. And your lawn is one thing, because you can redo the lawn for a couple $100, but you can't redo that tree for a couple $100. So I'm saying compost top dress. So organic matter is so important in the soil, and when our soil becomes compacted, we lose it. So my guess is you've bagged all your leaves for these years, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then what about grass clippings? Do you pull those up?
I usually bag them.
Yeah. So those are both methods for organic material to be left in the soil. And you're not alone, right? The whole city, people in the whole city, all over the city are doing that. But we're taking away what a natural system would apply as refertilization for the lawn. And so, you know, coming back and kind of trying to undo some of that organic matter that's been taken away by putting compost down. And so you can do that. You know, you put it down, and seriously, a month, it'll all be gone. It'll all just kind of go into the soil, and that's when you come back with your grass. So inch of compost under the whole canopy, and then a month goes away. Then you redo your grass, and then you fertilize pretty heavily with humic acid. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, I know I need some topsoil on there, but
no. So I would avoid using topsoil, just because you're just dealing with compaction, right? Like air, you've lost air in your soil, so you get some air back in your soil, and your soil is going to rise back up. So that's what I'd go after instead of kind of getting topsoil back in there.
Okay, and what kind of compost was that?
Well, there's a few good brands, but I love Nature's Way Resources. So Diane definitely would encourage the Warren's Heirloom Soils. They also do a good job. But you got to get some really rich, really dark material.
Right. Well, the problem I have is it's got a pretty good crown on it. So first good rain, it's going to try to wash away.
Well, that's a great thing about that compost, man. It'll keep the water right in place. It's great at holding moisture. So I think you're going to be kind of amazed in the speed of results if you do kind of really focus on uncompacting the soil.
Great.
Hey, well, thanks a lot, Wes.
Thank you.
All right. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
For generations, Benjamin Moore's Regal Select has been the paint you rely on most for its performance and versatility. Available in a variety of sheens and more than 3,500 colors, Regal Select applies smoothly and finishes every job with discernible sophistication. Visit your locally owned Benjamin Moore store for expert advice. Learn for yourself why Regal Select is the brand painters and Tom Tynan trust. To find a store, visit homeshowradio.com/paint. Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Hi, everybody. This is Anita from Nelson Nursery and Water Garden. We are having such glorious weather, perfect for working your beds for spring. And we have all the soil amendments, expanded shale, mulch, compost, needed to add to the soil, which growing annuals and veggies a breeze. Plus the organic fertilizers that are safe and easy to use. And by easy, I mean they won't burn your plants, so it's hard to overdo. Maybe you're looking for a project. Why not add a disappearing fountain to your yard? They're easy to maintain and provide the element of sound, the sound of water music, to your garden. Plus, they provide moisture for birds, bees, and butterflies. So come on out and visit us. You can find all kinds of examples of things that you can add to your garden during these bright, sunny days of winter. You can find directions on our website, but really, it's easy. Just drive west from Houston on I-10, exit 742, which is Katie Fort Bend Road, and make a right. You'll be heading north, and you'll find us up the road, a half mile up on the right. During winter hours, we are open from 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday, but closed on Sundays. Call us at 281-391-4769. Now, back to Diane and Danny.
That's right. We are back. Running out of time here, though. But Diane, what's happening about Warren's? Give us one more kind of an update.
Well, it's all about tomatoes and edibles and planting trees. Mm-hmm. We've got Jeremy Colas coming on the 29th, Saturday, 10 a.m. He is from Swiss Alp Growers, and he knows everything that you need to know about growing veggies, tomatoes, tips and tricks. So we're really excited to have him. But really, we're just focusing on edibles and, you know, getting prepped up for spring.
That is awesome. That's so cool. Well, really appreciate you today dishing out just incredible information. I wrote down a lot of what you said for my own private use. So thanks so much for that.
Have a great weekend,
you
everybody.
Too. Yes, everybody have a great weekend. Just to remind everybody out there, there's a Listen Now button on the website. And those of you who called in real late, we always get stacked up at the end. The show starts at 7. So, you know, feel free to get in line right at 7 and we can get you guys all on. So, appreciate you. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home.
Ah!
Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
At homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
HomeShowRadio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.